Hey guys, it's Marcus here. You're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show, April 30th, 2010. A lot of exciting news has just happened today, yesterday, and the day before. And we thought we would do a little radio broadcast and bring you guys up to speed if you haven't been keeping your ears to the electronic reader ground or the Slate PC ground. So one of the biggest news items to come out today has been the Microsoft Courier getting axed. This was vaporware, basically, that never got off of the prototype stage. They gave an official announcement today saying, at any given time, we're looking at new ideas, investing, testing, incubating them. It's in our DNA to develop new form factors and natural user interfaces to foster productivity and creativity. The Courier project is an example of this type of effort. It will be evaluated to use in future offerings, but we have no plans to build such a device at any time. Now, this official announcement came heads over heels, basically, within a few hours of an announcement by Microsoft boss Steve Ballmer. He basically informed the internal team that was working on the Microsoft Courier that drop everything, the project is axed. There's really no publicly announced, acknowledged, or why it was axed, just that it is. So it's a disappointment to the Slate PC world. A lot of people were looking at the Microsoft Courier as a dual tablet touchscreen PC, that it was very innovative, very nichey. It was unlike a lot of the other single screen Slate PCs that have been coming out this year, being announced this year, and are due out anytime really this year. There's quite a number of devices coming out. So Microsoft said at this time that there are no plans to get into the Slate PC market, that they're just going to continue to look at netbooks, laptops, and build around their Windows 7 mobile operating system. So that was the big news, that the Courier is no more. And we're kind of disappointed here at Good E-Reader. It was looking like a rather sleek device. It had a lot of really interesting functionality to it. If you've seen any of the videos on the Microsoft Courier, you definitely know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen the videos, go ahead and take a look at our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/goodereader. And we have about two or three different videos on there that document it through the production phase. So again, the Courier's no more. Now, big news happened on Wednesday night that HP has officially bought Palm. Now, what HP gets out of this is basically the Palm Web OS, which was a very robust system. There's over 2,000 apps available on it, so HP gets access to all that. There's strong rumors to say that based on some tech guys getting their hands a hold on a copy of the HP Slate in the last week and didn't really have riveting reviews, they basically said that it was a glorified notebook. The operating system took 7 to 8 minutes to load up. There's only 1 gig of RAM in there that's not upgradable. Sure, it has HDMI and some cool features, but if it's running Windows 7, they're saying that that's not the great direction to go involved in, at least for Slate PCs. When you look at Android devices, most Android Slate PCs load up pretty fast, have access to untold thousands of applications. The Microsoft operating system on the HP Slate, it's really up in the air whether they're going to release the first model of the Slate on Windows 7 and then go to the Palm OS or the Web OS for a subsequent Slate follow-up. Now, it would make sense that HP would be banking a Slate using the Web OS, considering that most Slates are on the Google Android operating system. So this would give HP the distinctiveness that it's looking for to really compete, you know, in that arena. And they're saying that they definitely want to revitalize their phone industry because they were using older versions of Microsoft's mobile operating system, which is pretty well dead in the water. So unless HP switches to Windows Mobile 7, pretty well they're not going to really have a strong presence in the very competitive cellular phone market. But getting back to HP and the Slate, it's really hard to say what they'll do at this point. We definitely see pros and cons going with the Windows OS versus the Palm Web OS. The Palm Web OS Sense applications really gives HP a bargaining chip. It really gives them a distinctive look and factor and a competitive edge. So HP has said that they're going to strongly put hundreds of millions of dollars into development into Palm so they can do internal research. So basically HP will use Palm as their research and development arm for their widening growth in slates, tablets, and mobile phone operating systems. So again, HP has bought Palm for $1.2 billion, and many people are saying that that was just basically for its patents and for its operating system. Now, some other news that has just happened is Amazon has officially announced Kindle to getting updates. So there's going to be a firmware 2.5 available around March 17th. Now, there's a lot of cool aspects to this firmware. For one, they're integrating Facebook and Twitter in the respects that you can tag specific paragraphs, lines of dialogue that you find riveting and interesting. You can post those lines of dialogue to Twitter and Facebook as status updates. So because they're using Twitter, it pretty well limits to how many words someone can copy from a book to Twitter. Remember, Twitter is 140 characters, so that's not a lot of sentences to be able to convey. So if you find a meaningful phrase, a parable, something like that, sure, you can share it on Twitter and Facebook. They also have another popular program that they call Collections, which allows you to organize your ebooks and documents into one or more collections. And this comes in response to criticism that navigating page after page on the device text is a really weird way of managing content. So they're giving you a way better content management system on the Kindle 2, and the Kindle DX. They also are making it possible to add passwords to protect the Kindle. So if you don't want anybody to read your Kindle or to get in there when you're not when you're not using it, or if you're in the middle of a book and you don't want anyone to get in there and sort of disrupt where your bookmark is, you can password it now. They have done two new larger font sizes. They've done sharper fonts, and other enhancements include the ability to zoom into and pan around PDF documents. So they're making you being able to navigate PDFs a lot more efficiently with different angles of zooming, different degrees of zooming, panning around from top to right corner or across horizontally the page. So this is really good news. Like I said, it should be debuting around May the 17th to public users, although there is a select internal private community right now developing this. And they have also said in July of this year that you should see a new Kindle web browser. Now, as we know, Kindle does have a web browser, although it's not the greatest web browser out there. It's pretty old and outdated. It's lacking a lot of social media features and web 2.0 features that a lot of people are wanting to see in their Kindles. So, on one hand, this is great for the Kindle to be able to get apps with their SDK that they released that allows independent app developers to make custom-made Kindle applications for the Kindle. So there's sort of two camps at this point. There's the traditional, I just want my Kindle to read books. If I want to Twitter people or to use Facebook or surf the internet, I'll do it on my laptop or my PC. And then there's the other camp of people that are the younger crowd that's used to mobile technology, as in having smartphones that'll do everything for you. They want these types of devices that won't just do one thing, but it'll do a multitude of many things. So there's two rival camps if you're in a Kindle forum community, if you're in our own Good E-Reader forum community, there's sort of, the camps are torn between sort of like the old school purists that say, just leave my Kindle alone, I just want to read books, if anything, make book reading better, page turning faster, which also they are doing in this new 2.5 firmware update. But now getting to some other e-reader news. You might have heard that Amazon has released its quarterly reports. They basically saw a 68% stock increase from this time last year. Now, Amazon's doing quite well. Basically, there's a few reasons why. Amazon sold less e-readers than Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble sold 53% of the 1.4 million e-readers sold in the first quarter of this year. But Amazon's really doing, they're really making some money from the catch-all categories of Amazon, of electronics, general merchandise, which grew about 72%. They are getting more involved in prints and media. They also acquired the shoe apparel retailer Zappos, so that definitely has impacted their stock increase. So despite the fact that Amazon has posted a crazy number of sales and money that it made, it's funny to see Barnes & Noble Nook actually sell more e-readers than the Kindles, which traditionally Amazon Kindles sold the most e-readers quarter in and quarter out. So Nook and Barnes & Noble have really stepped up the advertising game. Barnes & Noble is available at Best Buy's now, and Amazon did cut a deal recently with Target as well. So there's going to be more e-readers now in the retail marketplace, which of course will sell a lot of, you know, e-readers. But if you look at, say, Barnes & Noble, they sell their e-readers in all of their Barnes & Noble bookstores, whereas Amazon's a virtual store, so it doesn't really get the impulse buys like a retail setting goes. You know, when you're walking to the checkout and you see this or you see that, or you're just browsing around for some books and you're like, hey, an e-reader, let me play around with this for a while. The thing with the Amazon is that you can play with it before you buy it, because the only way that you could have in the last 4 years bought an Amazon and experimented it is if you actually bought it, or if you were random enough to meet somebody that actually had a Kindle at the same time, the same place as you. So Amazon sales have remained very strong. Their store has around 500,000 ebooks available. It's definitely a ton of books. Amazon definitely will be competing with other bookstores that are rising, such as the Kobo bookstore, with Borders, with Apple iBooks. So there's a lot of competition with the online book aspect of selling things. So it'll be interesting to look at next quarter who's, what company has sold either the most ebooks and e-readers. We see Barnes & Noble being consistently up there, and like at least for the next quarter, because most of the new e-readers that are innovative, such as the Skiff or the Plastic Logic Q, in terms of just being straight e-readers, that's not going to really happen until June or July of this year. So Barnes & Noble has a long advantage over these guys that are just coming into the market. Don't forget that Barnes & Noble has released a television commercial, which is pretty solid actually, and really captures the essence of being a book lover all your life and then just switching over to an e-reader because it's easy and more portable. So look for Barnes & Noble to continue them selling more e-readers than Amazon for at least the next quarter. That's what we're predicting. Now, the last bit of news is more international news. BenQ and Two True Digital have formed a new ebook store. Now, this is going to be the largest bookstore in Thailand right now. BenQ is sort of the technology arm of this deal. BenQ releases a lot of everything from LCD screens to MP3 players. They are now in the process of releasing a few e-readers, whereas True Digital has always been a multimedia video audio content provider. So they sign artists. They are in charge of more or less the content distribution. So BenQ and True Digital teaming up is a great team up, and it's really good news for people that actually live in Thailand and live in the Asian area of that part of the world, because it gives them basically the Amazon of Thailand. Now, BenQ, because they're selling e-readers and they have a direct partnership now with True Digital, it gives access to those people with a lot of books. And what they're saying is if you buy any type of BenQ e-reader now, that you'll get credits. So with your e-reader, you can buy up to 37 books straight up from the new bookstore. And they also have a way that you can do subscriptions, much like we sell subscriptions to sell ebooks on a month-by-month level. So what they're doing is they're allowing you with a monthly subscription to download up to about 40 or 50 ebooks, which is similar to what we do. So it's good to see Thailand taking a cue from some of the North American innovators. Now, there's two different e-readers coming out by BenQ. One is called the N-Reader, which is a very good sort of higher level e-reader. They're also releasing another model, a lower end model. Both of these should be on for sale roughly in like a few months from now. They're really trying to pump these out to get demand for it. So a lot of people who live in Thailand, especially an assistant general manager at True Digital, he's expressed hope that this new technology will encourage greater numbers of people to read more regularly, accelerating knowledge in the society, and also helping to save the environment by reducing the amount of paper used. Now, they're saying that in their area of the world, that e-readers are going to be seeing a growth of about 300% over the next few years. At the global level, they're saying that e-readers will sell about 9.3 million this year, whereas they only sold 3.8 million total last year. So they're definitely seeing a dramatic shift in people actually purchasing these e-readers, having people aware that e-readers exist, and provide them an alternative to actually going to the store and buying books, whereas a lot of the time e-books are cheaper than e-readers. So if you're a cost-savvy type of person, or if you're not making a ton of money, it also makes sense to buy an e-reader, and then over time you're saving so much on books that it really makes it viable. And with the subscription-based book-selling service like they're doing, they have different tiers that you can purchase, different levels that will allow you 5 books a month, 20 books a month, 30 books a month, and so on. So I think that they're a company definitely to look out for. In Thailand, at least, BenQ and True Digital are two of the largest companies out there. Them teaming up will lead to very good things in that area. And they're also saying that they want to expand also out of Thailand into China, into Korea, into, you know, other places in that region. So good on them for getting this deal signed. Having a bookstore up and available right now. They only have about 1,000 books available, but they have around 30 different publishers. So, and they have some of the biggest publishers there, such as the Bangkok Post, the Bookline, and a ton of different independent, you know, struggling independent companies that have a lot of books people behind them, and they're just sort of making the transition from fine print, like selling actual books, to digital print. So there's going to be the transition in which all these guys got to convert all of these books over, sign new deals, new partnership agreements saying, you know, this publishing company gets X amount of each sale, this company gets X amount of each sale. So there's a lot of sort of legal stuff, but they are official partners. It's just a matter of ironing out the semantics, we think. So again, good on BenQ for signing that deal. So that's pretty well the big news that's happened in the last few days. Just to summarize it all up, Amazon Kindle is getting a firmware update around May 17th. You'll get to get access to Twitter and Facebook, faster page turns, easier ways to categorize all your books. Also, the Microsoft Courier, dead as doornails. Sorry about that, guys. HP Slate, possibly the run Palm WebOS instead of Windows 7, and the BenQ deal. So before we let you go here, we just want to let you guys know that the May edition of the Good eReader magazine is now available. So in this issue, we have an interview with Chandra, which is the CEO of Fusion Garage, and he and his company have just put out the Juju Slate PC, tablet PC. So we have a great interview with him. He talks about everything from their devices to partnership agreements to just informing people, giving us new information that, you know, nobody had before. So it's an exclusive interview. We also review the new Dell Slates coming out. We review the Kobo e-reader, as well as we talk about a bit about the future of print media and how the gravitating away from printed form to ebook form, how that's changing up the established paradigm. So we write quite a bit about that, but we also have some video game news, such as the PS3 getting a new firmware update that allows people to have PS3s to be able to get 3D television. We have a lot of tech news on e-readers and Slates and tablet PCs, so sign up today. It's only $1.99 for your first issue, and you can simply sign up by clicking on the Good eReader magazine navigation bar on our homepage at goodereader.com, or if you're on listening to us on our blog, you can type in Good eReader magazine on our blog at goodereader.com/blog. For Good eReader, this is Marcus, and everybody take care.